Welcome, everyone, to The Defenders with Daryl. We are doing a very special episode. We have Chad from Grey Malkin Lane. Chad, how are you?
I'm so good, my friend. It's great to see your face. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's Monday here. We are releasing this in like 2 days. So,
oh, excellent.
Yeah, unlike many of the Defenders episodes that I'm recording in this few week group, when I don't know when I'm releasing them, I know when I'm releasing this one.
Recording's a wild time. Sometimes you put out the next day, and other times you're recording 2 months ahead of time.
I'm usually bad about editing, so I will have a stack of unedited episodes and just have to go in there and devote like 3 hours, and I'm like, this is miserable. I should edit every episode once it gets done. It's never going
to happen. I edit so much that when I listen to people talk and they say, I get like a mental visual of deleting the from their speech bubbles.
Fair. I dragged you back to hell for a Namor issue. You covered the Namor annual from 1993 with us last year. And I thought, hey, I'm getting friends together to talk about Defenders. And you said, yeah, any issue. And I was like, oh, there's one with this fish man. So
when I worked on the Marvel handbooks, I was known as the Daredevil, Defenders, X-Men guy. Those are always my three biggest areas of love. At one point when I was married to my wife, she would tell people, like, as a fun fact, like, did you know that my husband is like the world's preeminent Defenders expert? And they're like, what's the Defenders? I love this title. I love every obscure character. I profiled every one of these crazy people. And the surprise villain today is such one of my favorites of all time. I love him very much.
And as people have probably caught on so far, like, this is my first time reading Defenders. And I started with J.M. DeMatteis. Because I feel it's super engaging and fun writing, and I had no clue. We'll get to it, but I was like, who the fuck is this? Like, okay. And then, like, there's a transformation. It's like a reveal, except the reveal just goes wrong.
Well, it's a double reveal. I will send you the encyclopedia entry I wrote on this guy if you want. It really happens.
And as a tease for readers, the person we're talking about that we'll talk about in a few minutes, shows up down the line in the DeMatteis run too. Just by surprise, you're like, oh, we're back to this one. Okay.
Yeah, and he's gay.
Yes. So speaking of homoeroticism, we open up, well, the cover is Namor fighting Hulk, basically. That's the feature of this issue. And you get other people in the background, but they are not the focus.
I love straight white guys drawing like sexy Namor's like back muscles and his glutes and his like thick thighs on covers. It cracks me up every time.
He's hot as fuck. Don Perlin just doing the Lord's work on Defenders.
Don's pencils in this issue are amazing. We also have to point out on the cover, Valkyrie's like double. So she's the second wave feminism character, right? Yep. She's the girl in the metal bra with the giant sword, literally chopping off the tip of the tank's dick.
And Hellcat is in the background and she's doing a kick. Doctor Strange doing Doctor Strange shit. But the splash page, the title of this issue is The Woman Behind the Man. And we open on Namor.
Which, remember this when it comes to the reveal, woman behind the man.
Namor, it's described in here. He is, he's having a few moments of innocent play with his brothers of the sea, which are dolphins. And I want to send this to J.D. Vance so bad to make him jealous. Because there are multiple dolphins and this very hot man.
Namor is synchronized swimming with the dolphins. We have to draw this comparison early on because it will come back later. Are you watching The Boys?
I am not.
Okay.
I watched the first season.
On The Boys, there is a character named The Deep, who is a undersea superhero who's a bad dude, but he like fucks sea creatures. He like is dating an octopus in the most recent season. He's like secretly ashamed about his love of sea creatures. Namor in this entire issue is just like the Deep stories, but like in the 1980s, and it's delightful. I love gay Namor.
So he's swimming with the dolphins, and then someone calls out to him, and it's the Lady Dorma. Who the fuck is the Lady Dorma?
Back in the Submariner comics from the 40s, and then again in the 60s, the Lady Dorma is a supporting character. She is an undersea princess and Namor's truest love. Blue-skinned Atlantean girl with red hair. She features quite prominently in a lot of the Roy Thomas and other writers in the 60s. And there's an amazing soap opera supervillain named Lyra Morris, who I adore, who poses as Dorma at the wedding of Namor and Dorma. But she's not Dorma. She's Lyra in disguise. And at the end of this adventure, Dorma dies horribly. And she's been gone for a while. So she's back here and it's a big surprise. And she's in her little sexy, you know, like sci-fi costume with like her flowing skirts and her exposed tummy. I like Dorma. I think she's a great character.
She is shackled to some seaweed. And that's all we get for that, because then we cut to the team at the Sanctum Sanctorum. And Damon Hellstrom, being the himbo he is like, Doctor, this crystal is fascinating. You must use it in your necromantic rites. And Doctor Strange is like, no, it's just a paperweight.
I love DeMatteis writing his characters in Defenders, like just shooting the shit around the mansion. It's my favorite.
We have Bruce Banner and Clea Valkyrie getting served tea by Wong. And
Clea in her like high raised collar with like the stenciled stars on it. Clea is one of my all time favorites, too. I love her so much.
She could put out an eye with that collar. Bruce Banner sort of wants to run back like, hey, I sort of forgot things because I was the Hulk. Do you want to like relive our last adventure? And Valkyrie is like, can we the fuck not? We just did it. No, we're going to sip our tea.
Can I just relax for a minute? Nighthawk comes in like Bobby Drake style with like a gallon of ice cream and like a platter of milkshakes. Like, hey, everybody, I got some chocolate chip for you, which is the boringest choice.
It is. But yet I still have a crush on him reading this. Like,
oh, no. Nighthawk's the worst.
I can't help it.
Daryl, do you have a type? Is your type whiny, self-hating billionaires?
Maybe. Well, I hate Tony Stark. So no. Maybe I should cosplay as this version of Nighthawk, though. The version we get at...
He's the saddest sad boy. He's so whiny.
But only the version of him from, like, these first three pages. Because it gets real dire for him very soon. So he's serving up ice cream, having a great time. Valkyrie has, like, the biggest smile on her face. In the corner of that panel, she's like, ooh.
And then Himbo Son of Satan, like, Doctor Strange, could we have a moment of privacy? And Doctor Strange just conjures up some green fucking circle to go hide in. You know he's tried this with his lovers over the years. And everyone's like, couldn't they have just gone to a different room? Jeez.
But they're interrupted because there's a scream outside of their magical green bubble. And it's Kyle Richmond falling to the ground. And Bruce Banner takes his pulse and he's like, oh no, he's dead. And then he is so traumatized, he turns into the Hulk.
He is very sad. His friend, who he affectionately calls Birdnose, has fallen over. But Doctor Strange saves him from a spell. You don't learn the cause of all this. There's some wonky history with Nighthawk, with like the Squadron Sinister, and his like life force has been messed up and he ends up paralyzed for a minute. But Gargoyle comes in a few issues. You'll see this plot line wrap up, but he ends up paralyzed in this story and you're like, oh no, the billionaire.
There is an explanation. We'll get to the explanation later in this issue. Fair listener, don't worry. We can read it verbatim and it still won't make sense. Namor is swimming with Dorma back to Atlantis. I love this turtle. This turtle wants none of your bullshit. And I'm going to just remember this turtle when I have a hard email to respond to at work.
Namor was just dancing with dolphins. Now he's swimming longingly toward Atlantis while holding hands with his lady love. They land in Atlantis holding hands. The whole military is there. Lord Vashti is there. And they're like, Dorma's alive. Look at him holding her hand.
And He's like, but I thought you were dead. It's very Britney Spears like, but I thought you threw it into the ocean at the end. Well, baby, I went down and got it for you. And the thing that he got was Dorma. And she's like, oh, no, here's some exposition to explain how I died. There was a body swap. So even the Dorma you saw die wasn't Dorma. It was a clone. And this woman, I love how the Atlanteans have to exist in air because they have basically space helmets filled with water. And she's like, this bitch cloned me.
Do you know this character, Lyra Morris?
No, you explained her.
This is not a word I use lightly. She's the most pussy character in comics. She is Joan Crawford. No, she's Faye Dunaway as Joan Crawford as a supervillain. Like, I must do a trial of her. She's so much every time she shows up. You might recognize her, like, she teamed up with Lord Gar in the, like, Atlantis Attacks annuals, if you read those in the X-Men in the 80s. I love her. She's insane.
So, she goes
and they're like, Lyra's dead, and the box at the bottom's like, actually, she's not. Go look, it's Amazing Spider-Man number 214. She's still alive.
So basically, Vashti is convinced with telepathy that it's really her, and Namor's like, I told you, and then he proclaims everything, and he's like, you know what? She's back. I'm feeling myself. You know what we're gonna do? Wage war on the surface. Who's with me?
They're holding hands. My people, as Dorma rose, so shall Atlantis. I hereby declare that a war be waged in my lady's name, a war that will finally, irrevocably bring the world above to its knees. Imperious Rex! I love this trope of, like, whenever Atlantis declares war on the surface world, they got a bunch of, like, fucking ships that look like seahorses and crabs and like turtles, and they just go invade. They've done it 1,000 times, and it's a delight every time.
So we see something. We know something's up with Dorma. There are too many longing glances at the reader through the panel. Like, she's breaking this fourth wall and just telling on herself. But we leave it there. War is declared on the surface. We go back to the Defenders. Everyone's gathered around Kyle Richmond, who's in his bed. And then we get the exposition about how he almost died in Defenders 14, which is years before this. Just a deep cut that Dave Mateus is like, I'm going to pull at this string.
You've never read this before, so I'm not going to spoil it for you, but things get real fucking weird for Nighthawk in the next few issues. It's a weird, weird plot line.
I have read ahead, and I can agree. So, I'm through this trade paperback and through half of the next. So, yes, we'll have you back because
I'd be happy to come back anytime, but talking Defenders is one of my favorites.
We'll have you back for the Kyle Richmond mess that he will find himself in.
I just don't think I can get away with doing the trial of Kyle Richmond on my show. It's just too far of a stretch, but I fucking hate this guy in like a loving way. Doctor Strange is able to use the Eye of Agamotto to like stabilize him. And there's triptych of panels where they're all have the same facial expression. Like, here's how they're feeling. And Son of Satan, it's like shock. And Valkyrie, it's like horror. And Clea, it's like pity. But they all just have the same facial expression. I love Perlin's pencils in this. I think they're great. And then Wong comes in and is like, hey, Doctor Strange, you need to see something on the TV. And he's like, television, Wong? What an icon's name could possibly be of interest to me on that foolish contraption. Dude, Wong never has wasted your time before, ever. Like, stop being an asshole.
And Doctor Strange has a TV, which is weird to me. And you sort of see it in close-up, so you don't see the style. I am betting it is a console television in a big wooden cabinet on the floor. Like, that is the only TV this man could possibly have. And it's footage of Namor attacking London with his Atlanteans. And they're like, oh, see you later, Nighthawk. We got shit to do. And he's like, I'll be here. I'm paralyzed, so I can't go really anywhere.
Clea and Wong will watch over him, and Hulk assures him, Bird knows, stay right here. Hulk will come back to take care of him. Leah Williams called him a brain damage Hulk on my show once, and I all I can hear is like Kevin from The Office, like Cookie Monster, whenever 70s Hulk is here.
So we get an interlude. So the cover was a bit of a lie, because Hellcat is not in a battle. She is in New Jersey at her family home. She's real sad about her mom being dead. She won't be sad for long about it. But she's real sad. And the shadow cloak is in her closet. It starts rustling. She is real pissed off about her mom, throws the picture against the wall, and then a shadowy hand reaches for her. And
what is the shadow cloak, you might ask? Have you already talked about this on your show?
No.
If everybody from Alpha Flight knows, like, Shaman has that bag where you can, like, reach inside and, like, pull a weapon out, that's basically what the Shadow Cloak is. It, like, is a portal to other dimensions where the character Devil Slayer will wear it. He can reach inside it and pull weapons out. It's a weird fucking little thing.
And
no guarantees, but there are loose and desired plans to have the trial of Hellcat on my show in 2025. So stay tuned. I love her. I just got a print of her from my wall. She's one of my all-time favorite characters.
She is only here on this one page. Everyone, if you're wondering who's Devil Slayer, don't you worry, he's going to be here in a couple issues, and we will cover him plenty. And much like Kyle Richmond, Devil Slayer has a real fucked up story.
He's like one of those nom heroes. We won't go into it. I do love De Mateus's writing. When we introduce Patsy, he goes, "In a simple suburban house in the simple suburban township of Montclair, New Jersey, a young woman attempts to deal with very complex emotions." Like, I love her. She's been crying for 40 minutes, you guys.
So the Defenders appear, courtesy of Doctor Strange, in London, and the Atlanteans are there. And Dorma is on a little throne under a bubble. So good for her.
The caption says, "London, England. There's a damp chill in the morning air, but without a doubt, things are about to get considerably hotter." And we get an image of shirtless Hulk, shirtless Son of Satan, and like Valkyrie in her metal bra appearing. Definitely hotter.
Yes. The constant comment that we're getting on these episodes is Damon Hellstrom and his abs. Just, yeah, that's it.
I want to say it's the gayest superhero costume, but we got Namor and the surprise reveal at the end. There's Gayer.
Yeah. So Doctor Strange tries some arguments on Namor. Like, why are you doing this? It's never worked in the past. We just hung out. We've always been, like, acquaintances. I can't say friends, but acquaintances.
But Namor just bitch slaps him across the face.
He does. Back into the arms of Damon Hellstrom. And then there's just a hog pile of Atlanteans.
It's a full gangbang.
It is. It's very History of the World Part One in the French skits where the women just get, like, piled on by men. Like,
also, the Atlantean war uniforms are like yellow leotards with orange belts and orange boots. Like, that's the whole military gear.
And Namor's like, "Dorma, this is what we're supposed to be doing, right?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm your only friend, and this is definitely right. Like, you're on the right track, boo."
Destroys a tank with the incredible sound effect smashing.
Yeah, the Defenders are gaining the upper hand very quickly. Valkyrie bashes one of their little fishbowl head helmet things. So that man's dead, unless he jumped in that water real quick. And they use all their various powers to basically lay waste to the efforts until the Sonic Scrambler comes in. And this is one of those vehicles you referenced that's ridiculous, because you can see that it's full of water. The Atlanteans are in there, which has to make this tank so much heavier because it's full of their environment.
Right, but also, how many stories in Marvel Comics do we have of American superheroes in, like, air helmets in Atlantis, like, fucking shooting flames of water and, like, laser blasts at people, like, in underwater battles? Like, the laws of science be defined.
So there is a scree that goes on for several panels. They defeat them with sound, and they all pass out. And the next thing we see is
we're back in the base, and the base, all in shackles.
And first there is a gentle rocking, then a persistent throbbing. Just, I know that you have talked with J.M. DeMatteis before about Iceman and how he wrote the miniseries and how it's real gay. J.M. DeMatteis can write some real gay shit without being intentional about it.
You know, everyone can, and that's yes. The thing. But here, and I know J.M. well enough to know that this was not the intention, but I need you all to realize very quickly, Namor and Dorma have been fucking this entire issue off panel. They're holding hands, and they are fucking, they are fucking, they are fucking. Because you need to remember that when it comes to the reveal in a minute.
Yes.
Dr. Strange is in one of those, like,
constrained in different ways that neutralize their powers.
Dr. Strange is in one of those, like, handcuffs over your head, like, sexy poses.
But they gagged him, so he can't say any spells. Hulk, so they say that Hulk is in a cage of somnolomists.
So, like,
which sounds wonderful. It also sounds like what Michael Jackson died of. So,
somno is like sleep, and then it's like a mist, it's like a sleeping gas. And then Son of Satan's knocked out. And the way they restrain Valkyrie is, Valkyrie, we're going to leave you unrestrained with some female guards because, you know, we know you wouldn't want to hit a girl, which is so stupid.
It is. And it comes back issue after issue. Like, in another issue, she's like, I would battle you, but I cannot hit another woman. And just, like, lays down her sword.
Well, it's, the reason it's funny is it's part of her enchantment. Right. She is cursed to not be able to fight other women, which is hilarious when you get, like, again, the second wave feminist thing for her. I need to do the Trial of the Valkyrie one day, too. I love her.
And she doesn't hit Dorma, but she does kick her right in the tits. That is just a boot to the midsection.
But right before that, Dorma looks like she punches Valkyrie in the boobs.
Yes.
Like, there's a punch to the boobs and then a kick to the boobs.
And then
Namor's like, wait, this isn't right.
And that's when the illusion breaks. So Valkyrie actually didn't hit a woman or kick a woman, because it's revealed that this is actually Nebulon the Celestial Man who... This outfit, it's sparkly, it's shiny, it's tight, there's a deep V.
Nebulon the Celestial Man is has yellow skin, rather like Rocky from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but he has a, I don't even know how to describe this costume. It's a leotard, but with bare legs, bare chest. And then his pelvis and arms and back are covered, and his boots match in, like, the most sparkly, gay, rhinestone sequined, like, the disco ball is turning, and it's just, like, hitting every popping star, plus a metal belt to catch your eye. Drag queen turns the corner. He's got Magneto, like, flowing white locks. This man is sexy and stupid, and he's one of the weirdest Marvel villains ever. This is a Steve Gerber creation, much like
I can see that.
Men. He's just a weird fucking guy.
So this is the second callback to Defenders 14 in this issue, which is real interesting. Like, JM must have read specifically that issue and wrote down many notes, because there, that was the callback for Nighthawk, and now Nebula.
Oh, I lied. This is a Len Wein creation, but Steve Gerber used him in some of the most nonsensical Defenders stories you've ever looked at. Look up the Celestial Mind Control movement, where Nebulon takes over the minds of supervillains and makes them put on clown masks to get other people to join his clown cult.
And there is a footnote in here that says that is Defenders 34 to 40 and annual number one. So that's a big storyline to take up with the ridiculousness you just described.
Mm-hmm. He has a high tribunal of his race that is after him, but he's a shape changer. So his methodology here is, if I change shape, then I can get an army to conquer Earth for me. Which, if this was the Enchantress or something, or even Mystique, that's hilarious. But this is a full alien man in a sparkle suit who has made himself look like Dorma, the Atlantean queen, and has been fucking Namor to convince him to send everyone to go to war with the surface world. It's nuts.
And since he is a shapeshifter, he chose to wear this. Like, this was his selection because his hair is not only Magneto white and flowing, he has glitter in it. Like, it's sparkly. There are sparkles drawn on that weave in every single panel.
You and I know I say this all the time. We did Wondar the Aquarian together on my show. We must do Nebulon the Celestial Man. I simply can't right now, but like, let's talk about it, because this would be fun to do.
2025 people, Nebulon coming to Gray Malkin Lane.
He's so much. I love him.
So he gives his villain monologue, and Doctor Strange just blasts him in the face. He's like, fuck off, and just shoots him straight up in the face with whatever spell. Mystic Bolts is what they're described as.
He gets punched a few times. He got knocked over. And then we get the second reveal. So he rips his wig off. And what is underneath?
It's a wig made of slimy creature. It is a green creature that has one, two, three, four, at least five. It has five appendages.
Five appendages. He looks like something seen like the deep sea, with like a spiny fin down the back that you'd like see on a stegosaurus. Like,
he has two mouths, eyes. But not how you think they should be.
Yeah, tentacles. And then he's got this big mouth and then like a smaller mouth inside that mouth that's like dripping white stuff.
And he's facing Namor when it's dripping white stuff. We know what it is.
Uh-huh. Namor famously dated Marina, who's like a Plodex alien who takes on a super beast form. So the comparison I drew to the Deep earlier, who like dates sea creatures, Namor... He's like slept with like crazy undersea gross queens in X-Men and Avengers for years. Like, you don't blame, like, maybe Dorma took this form and that's why Namor was into her this whole issue. Cause like, ooh, look at this sexy sea creature with a double mouth and like some tentacles. Fuck yeah.
And we see that he's pissed off and he's like, you're finished, and tosses him into the air. Way different from Marina, because he goes hard for Marina even after she is like this dreadful murderous sea creature.
Well, right, but before he throws her into space, Namor says, when I think that I held you in my arms, let my lips brush yours, I am sickened and you are finished. I mean, she already finished him off earlier.
Several times. They had the time to go to London and sit on a throne.
This is delightful. I fucking love this issue. It's so fun.
So he tosses Nebulon into the air, and then his people find him and beam him aboard.
And as he's being beamed aboard, he turns back into Dorma again. Namor, please don't let them take me. Help me.
And the grotesquerie is sucked into the StarCraft.
Not for long.
Not for long. Back. You will see Nebulon and others return from this in like 10 issues or so. So
Nebulon's also in Avengers Annual 11, where he dies. Well, seemingly dies. And then he's gone for like 10 years. And then he's one of those characters that gets brought into one of the like Legion of the Unliving, where he's like an undead guy. But there's that thing in the handbooks where like every version of the Legion of the Unliving, every villain they bring in, like Count Nefaria, who Baron Zemo, whoever, they all are revealed to be alive eventually. So you got to be like, oh, actually, that was like some demon that they made look like that guy. That was it's the thing that we had to do in the handbooks over and over, because every character ever used in those teams is like actually not dead. Bucky's on the team. Oh, never mind. Bucky was alive the whole time.
And the Avengers Annual you referenced will be our next stop for Nebulon eventually in our Defenders coverage. And to close out the issue, Doctor Strange turns to Namor and says, the nightmare is over now, Namor. Let the memories die. And he responds, they can never die, Doctor Strange, for hate is eternal, as is love.
Which the implication is he got some sort of space chlamydia.
Yep. And that sort of ends our Defenders coverage, that it comes before the Six-Fingered Hand, which is going to dominate our Defenders coverage for quite a while, because it's another long arc that culminates in a supersized issue 100. So
the Six-Fingered Hand is amazing.
It is. Yeah. I've recorded some of those episodes so far, and wrapping up recording early in August for the rest of them.
And if you keep going from here after Jam Day Mateus leaves the title, New Defenders gets even crazier once Beast, Iceman, and like Angel show up and Moondragon. Like, it gets nuts. There's some crazy issues over the next several years.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And every single episode I record about the Defenders is so fun, because it is so wonky and so its own corner, where they do their own thing and no one really gives a fuck. Like, they're like, oh, the Defenders, let them do their thing.
And this title goes on for 152 issues. Like,
it's... yes, it's great. It goes until 85, I think. So
the Headmen earlier on, with the exception of that weird, terrible Sons of the Serpent story that Steve Gerber did one time, that's super racist. The rest of his title is really great.
So I'm so glad you could jump on and chat about one of your favorite titles, and I will bring you back for more Defenders coverage because you know everything about it.
I love this series. I mean, I have to give you the Fuck, Marry, Kill challenge of Son of Satan, Nebulon. Who's the third gayest? Yeah, well, I'll give you Nighthawk. You're like a sad billionaire.
I'd marry the sad billionaire, because as we will see, he has made some mistakes in his past that may come back to haunt him, and may take him off the board, so I would inherit. Definitely fuck Son of Satan, because just hot. And he's level-headed when he's not fully in the grip of the Dark Force. Kill Nebulon. Nothing good is going to come of that, and we know he has space chlamydia. Like, and there's a... there should be no stigma attached to an STI or anything like that, but he should also disclose that to his partners. And I don't think he did it anymore.
This version of Nighthawk, I think, is less remembered because they've been using that name more with African-American heroes in recent years. But this guy has some weird staying power. He comes back quite frequently. I think most recently in 2012 in the Vengeance series. He's been gone for a little while, but he's a character that's just kind of odd. Like, people are oddly affectionate over, but he truly is the worst. In this, like, era of second wave feminism, where we see characters like Daredevil and Hawkeye deal with, like, if the woman doesn't love me, what does this mean? Nighthawk's kind of that guy from the beginning, and he's just that character the whole way through. He's really awful. But I love him for it, you know?
Yeah. And he has some good quips. I think JM writes him really well, in terms of giving him that Johnny Storm voice and role, like, sort of kidding around and sort of the, he's just going to fuck around. That's what he does.
This is the non-team book, right? Like, Silver Surfer, Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Namor are constantly brought together against their will. And then early on, they introduce Valkyrie, Hellcat, and Nighthawk as, like, the ongoing people who are actually the Defenders. Until they try to make them an official team with the X-Men characters in it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a bizarre concept, and it's just a delightful ride.
Yeah, I'm currently finishing off, hopefully this year, the Alpha Flight jam piece that I'm getting worked on by different artists. And I think my next one is going to be a Defenders jam piece and have people contribute to that. And I don't know who I would put on it. Once we get into, like, new Defenders, then you have... so many other people. It might have to be two jam pieces, maybe? I don't know.
I did a Patreon for Pride Month on Cloud. That's a crazy ride. In Avengers Annual 11, which we referenced earlier, you get to meet Nebulon's wife, who is like the girl version of him. She looks the same, has the same costume, except she has tits. And her name is Supernalia.
Oh.
I love this shit, man. It's my
favorite. Know. It's so fun and weird and gives me an excuse to laugh about things. Like, there's not many things I can laugh about in X-Factor Investigations anymore, because it's just, the stakes are just so high. But Defenders, It can be a laugh a minute, depending on how you take it.
One last, and I know we're wrapping up, one last thing. Do you know what alien race Nebulon is from?
No, it just said celestial, which, I mean, that's general.
Yeah, so his extraterrestrial race is, I'll spell it for you, it's ULULA N. So the Ululans.
Okay, great. I'm sure they have a great time on their planet of Alua.
Ulula.
they come from the planet Kalua and wreak havoc.
It's
so what? All right, so we are throwing this episode up on the feed on July 31st. What is August all about on Grey Malkin Lane?
In August, where we get to cover Steve Englehart's Secret Empire story that results in Nixon killing himself in the White House. But that's another X-Men story people have forgotten. We get to see Banshee in Nashville. We get to see that time Blob got strapped to a table. There's a lot of really fun journeys. But we're going to open the month with Gail Simone's Women of Marvel story with my guest Rainbow Rowell and Molly Laser and your partner Philip Lindquist, who joined me for that one as well.
Yes, I know he had a lot of fun recording it. So the Nixon thing, I was just listening to the podcast You're Wrong About the other day, and they were covering, like, it's one of their back episodes that I'm catching up on, and they were covering hoaxes and things that went out, and NPR in 1988, I think it was the 88 presidential race, for April Fools, they had an April Fools joke where they said that Nixon was running for the nomination again. And they had, what's his name? Chuck Little, I think, who was the impressionist. They had him record like a snippet that they aired as Nixon to be like, I'm fully ready to come and assume the power of the presidency again. And people bought into it and people were excited about it, which
gross,
real gross. So I would much rather listen to your coverage where he blows his brains out.
But it's not technically him. I interviewed Steve Englehart about his Cap run. It's such a historic run, but the allegories that he puts in the comics are not thinly veiled, are very thinly veiled. Instead of the real life Rand Corporation, he gives us the Brand Corporation. Nixon's man in the Cap storyline is Quentin Haldeman, where, you know, Nixon's guy was Haldeman. Like, it's not Nixon's reelection campaign was creep and the campaign against Cap is crap.
We should do a special episode where we watch the movie Dick and record our reactions to it, because that would fit right into.
I love terrible movies. I host a bad movie night once a month at my house. It's my favorite.
It is one of my favorite movies. With all the star, like, current star power that's out there in Hollywood, before they were really famous, Ryan Reynolds is in it and gets his ass stabbed by a Nixon pin. So, oh,
fantastic.
Yeah. So put it on your list, at least for your movie nights.
Nixon being the archetype for bad presidency until Trump came along. Now nobody gives a shit. It's a rough time in America, y'all.
Real sad. All right, everyone. So make sure to go listen in on all of Chad's coverage. Come back here for our new episodes once a week. I don't know when the next Defenders episode will come out. So count your lucky stars. You got one today, everyone.
For Daryl on my show in September when we do the Trial of the Stranger. That's going to be a good time.
That's right. Yes, it's on my calendar, I believe. Somewhere it's lingering. That'll be a lot of fun. Well, thank you so much, Chad, and we will catch you next time that we suck you into a Defenders issue.
Thanks, everybody. If you're at FlameCon and or the Uncanny Experience, come say hello. I've got some fun panels. We'll have a good time. It'd be great to meet you. Thanks,
absolutely, Daryl. Chad is friendly. Say hi. And with that, goodbye, everyone.
Bye.